Bible Believers Fellowship airs a half-hour Bible study program each week. You can find them permanently posted for free download at bbfohio.com. And you can listen to the latest half-hour study by listening Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 Freedom FM.
And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house."
Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our two-part message titled, "The World Hates Jesus." All of these messages are available for free download at BBFOhio.com. We now join the conclusion of our message, "The World Hates Jesus."
And they hate Jesus Christ because Jesus testifies that those who don't love Him are wicked and evil and deserve hell. And that's why they hate Jesus. See, Jesus exposes that the package is not the real deal. The look on the face and the smile. You know, those preachers on TV? They just tell you everything you want to hear.
Yeah.
And just say, and listen, you know, you're beautiful. And I love every one of you. Never met most of you, but I love every one of you. You don't want to know why? Because I saw what you just dropped in the offering plate. God bless you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Yeah.
Fake. You know what? I'm just going to tell you flat out. If you like listening to people who do that, you're a sucker. You got it written right here. They see you coming. They know that most people, if they just smile, you're like, I'm sorry, but if you're like that, you're an animal. Mm-hmm. I can prove it. I can do it right now with Dan. I could take Dan. We love Dan, but he's a dog.
Yep.
And Dan the dog, if I looked at him and I said, "You stupid little dog. You're just as dumb as the day is long. I'm going to take you out and shoot you." And Dan would look up at me and say, but if I looked at him and I said, "You great little puppy, I love you. I'd like to take you home with me. You're the best dog in the world." He would cower down and say, "Yeah, really?" Why? Because he's not hearing what I'm saying. He's only going by this. That's an animal. That shouldn't be a human being. I'm not saying I ought to stand up here and just look at you and say, "God loves you. He wants to save everyone again." I'm not saying I should do that. But you know what? If I did and you listened, you'd be smarter than a dog. Because all over the world, people are looking at you and smiling and telling you lies. But because they're smiling, you're buying it and licking it up like a dog.
Give me that
Kool-Aid. Yeah. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. By the way, get a good look at Thomas, because once you see him, you'll start to see him everywhere. It's just amazing how many times we go out. Somebody walk
the post office.
Just we were just out shopping. We're like, "That dude looks like Thomas." And it's like, you realize how often we say that? But you know why I like Thomas? It's not just because he's beautiful. It's because I like what's in the guy. I'm here to tell you, I like you because of what's in you. I like Jesus in you. That shows itself. Your love for the Word. I would not want to be here if it wasn't for that.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to be here this morning if we were getting together for any other reason. I would have slept in, just like some of you did, and showed up real late.
You know, those pastors on TV love those people out there too, because they don't have Jesus in them.
Mm-hmm.
They love the world. Those people are full of the world. That's why they love them so much too.
Yeah. Amen. Well, and that is why when a redneck speaks out against sodomites, he is threatened to lose his TV show.
Wasn't
yeah.
that beautiful?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, evidently? Quack. Duck Dynasty star was suspended for anti-gay remarks. What did he say that was anti-gay? He said that having sex with one man having sex with another is not natural. If you're going to argue with me on that, you're stupid. There's nothing natural about a man with a man or a woman with a woman. It's not natural. Nature says it's a man and a woman. And God says only when they're committed for life in marriage.
Amen.
So I will tell you this. A man with a man having sex is sin.
Yep.
A woman with a woman having sex is sin.
That's right.
A man with a woman outside of marriage is a sin.
Amen.
Now why won't I lose a TV show for saying that? Think about it. If this guy stood up and said, I believe a man and a woman having sex out of marriage is a sin, he would not lose his show. He wouldn't. They say it all the time. There are people on television that I've seen say that, and there's no repercussions. But when they say, when they touch the holy, sacred cow of Sodom, that's when the devil comes out. I'm convinced when you talk to other professing Christians, most of the time they'll say nothing about fornication. They'll say nothing about other sins. But you talk about sodomites. You call them a queer or a fag or something like that. They all of a sudden just want to claw your face off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're seeing? The devil coming out. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Cracker Barrel announced they were going to get rid of all the Duck Dynasty stuff in their store. Because Duck Dynasty spoke out against the sodomites. And well, that just happened this week. So Cracker Barrel loves good old-fashioned cooking, good old-fashioned down-home decorations, but they don't like good old-fashioned Bible. And they don't like good old-fashioned Christians who believe the Bible. So I'll find somewhere else. Mariah is just going to have to make more chicken dumplings. So, I'm not going to lose anything out of the deal. Now, this is something you need to get in your head, too, because I'm just going to tell you, a lot of Christians like to make excuses for people who reject the words of God. And they'll say, well, even though they don't really believe the Bible, they say they love Jesus. That's a contradiction. John 14, if you're not there, turn there. John 14 and verse 23. We're going to see that those who reject the words of God are rejecting Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have time to run all the references, but you do understand that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then also Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, John 14, 23 says this. Read it. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. It's that simple. If you will accept his words, believing on Jesus, and how that this book, the words of God tell you that Christ died for your sins and paid the full price. He was buried and He rose again, proving, I am the resurrection and life. If you will believe in that, that moment, you're saved.
There you go.
Amen. And the way we will know that, the only way we... I can't read your mind. I can't read your heart, but I can see if you accept or reject His words. And so all these professing Christians run around rejecting His words. Professing does not necessarily mean possessing. So what do? I don't walk up and say, you're going to hell. I walk up to them and say, you know what? The Bible says if you reject His words, you're not saved. You're not one of His. And you're rejecting His words. Explain that to me. I don't judge them. I just ask them to explain. How is it that you reject the words of God and yet call yourself a Christian? Could you explain that to me? And that's where I leave it, because it's between them and God.
Yeah.
I know most of you realize this if you look back in hindsight in your public school textbooks, but Jesus is being deleted from the textbooks in America. And it's not just deleting Jesus, but in replace of Jesus, they're promoting lies and deception. People hate the infallible King James Bible because they hate Jesus. And that's what motivates this movement to rid society of Jesus. You see, they hate the book. They hate the believer. They hate Jesus. And it's because they really hate God. This is a textbook. Prentice Hall publishes this textbook, and it's used in the public schools. Does anybody here recognize that, by the way? Okay, because I talked to a few people online, they did. But that's a history textbook used in the public schools. Now, here's what this book does. There are 36 pages in that book dedicated to the religion of Islam, while there are no chapters dedicated to Christianity or Judaism. Could you explain that to me? Could you explain how Christianity and Judaism is totally missing from this book, and yet there are 36 pages to a false religion that has very little, if anything, to do with the founding of this country, except for the fact that Thomas Jefferson warned us about Islam, and that John Quincy Adams warned us about Islam. You read what the founders didn't write a lot about Islam, but what they did write was that if Americans ever accepted this into the country, they're fools. But most kids today couldn't give a flip about the founding of this country or the Bible. In reference to Muhammad and his armies taking over Medina states, the book, this history book, says people happily accepted Islam as their way of life. Can I give you a little bit of a... Here's the happily. Confess or die. I'm happy to confess. That's how it happened. And that's what kids are being taught. They're brainwashed. Public schools brainwash kids. The book indicates that Jesus proclaimed himself to be the Messiah, and yet they state as a fact that Muhammad was a prophet. Jesus was just a deluded fool who claimed to be the Messiah. But Muhammad the prophet. See how that works? That's what the kids are being taught. In the book, Christian battles are called massacres, while Muslim battles are called takeovers. We win. Wasn't that fun? Nobody got hurt? No. Everybody was... Islam fights, they either kill you or you become a slave, or you become... you pay the... I can't remember the word. It's not tikva. There's a word for it, where you basically live as an indentured servant type, where you only have certain rights and you pay a dhimmi tax. That's Islam. But you won't be taught that in schools because they don't care about what's true. And I'm asking you this morning, do you care about truth? If you don't care about truth, you're brainwashed. But if you're asking yourself, I wonder if that's true, then just keep reading, keep searching, keep looking. If you reject Jesus, it is because you do not love God. America today is rejecting Jesus, and it's proving they really don't love God. John 8, if you want to turn there. John chapter 8 and verse 42. John 8 and verse 42. If you reject Jesus, it is because you do not love God. Read that with me. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. You don't love Jesus because you don't love God. And you don't have a relationship with the Father and reject Jesus at the same time. It's impossible. There is no such thing. Now, have you ever had a relationship with someone who would look you in the eye and say, I love you? And then they treated you like dirt? Yeah. And we know professing Christians like that too. You see, someone can say, I love you. That doesn't mean they do. And wisdom is to discern. And you discern by their actions. If you love Jesus, you will desire to obey Him. John 14, turn over there a few pages. Or Martha, a few clicks. John 14, 15. I am thankful that I'm surrounded by people in my life who say, I love you, but then they demonstrate it. And it's not me standing there with a list. But it is just a general notion of if you love somebody, it's more than just words. Now, you should tell someone you love them every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Old joke is that a fella, you know, was married for 30 years, and his wife said, in 30 years of marriage, you haven't once told me you love me. And he said, I told you when we got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. No, you should tell people you love them if you love them. But don't just tell them you love them. Demonstrate it. Jesus in John 14:15, read that with me. He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, we always have to make the disclaimer, but love is a demonstration, not just a declaration. How many of you heard this saying, talk is cheap? Back, you know, my BC days, we used to say, because of some popular R&B artist who sang a song, people would say, what have you done for me lately? Well, it's not quite like that. But it is, hey man, you say you love me. What's up? What's the deal? Well, God doesn't talk like a redneck, but He does say the same thing. He says, you say you love me. What is going on? We don't keep His commandments in order to be saved. We desire to keep Jesus' commandments because we are saved. But if we are saved, that should be a fact. That we try, we desire to keep His commandments. None of us are perfect. None of us keep His commandments perfectly. None of my children have been perfect children. None of my children perfectly do their chores the way they're expected to. None of my children brush their teeth growing up the way they're supposed to, and they've paid dearly for that. None of my children did anything perfectly. But they did put forth the effort, and as a father, I could see that. And when necessary, I would discipline if it was necessary, and I saw that it was not just being human, but being careless or even rebellious. And that's the way God will deal with you. God knows your heart. He knows if you want to obey and you want to keep His commandments, and He will deal with you like a father. He doesn't kick you out of the family. But to the rest of us, there should be some evidence that you have a relationship with the Father. There should be some evidence that you do desire to keep the commandments. And the world's hatred for Jesus is not because of Jesus. It is because of man's own dark, wicked soul. John 15:25, and I'm going to have you turn there, and then also John 3:19. Keep your finger in one and the other. I don't know how you can pull that off, Martha, but you've heard John 3:19 enough. So turn to John 15:25 if you would. Everybody, turn to John 15:25, and then also John 3:19. I want you to see these two. These are, if you have a red letter Bible, these are all red letters. These are the words of Jesus. That's what I told you when He started. I'm just telling you what Jesus says, and then we're discussing it. Taking the words of Jesus Christ Himself. In John 15:25, and then we'll read John 3:19, we'll see the world's hatred for Jesus is not because of Jesus. It is because of man's own dark, wicked soul. John 15:25. Read that. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. They didn't crucify Jesus because Jesus did anything. Jesus didn't do anything that really caused them to personally hate Him. They did what they did because of what was in them. And John 3:19 explains that. Read John 3:19 with me. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Amen. Do you see that? Their deeds are evil, and that's why they hate Jesus. The world is given over to the evil one, and that is why they hate Jesus. True children of God love Jesus and His truth. I want to run through a couple of these references real quick. But John 8:42, true children of God love Jesus and His truth. John 8:42 says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. You see that? For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I from myself, but He sent me. If God were your Father, you would love me. And these are questions that only you can settle for yourself, folks. Are you saved? Do you love Jesus? That's between you and God. I can't read your mind and heart. No one else can. You have to settle these things for yourself. And I ask you this morning, as we go through this whole season of Christmas, and some of you get into it, some of you don't. Some of you may go to family gatherings or whatever, and some of you go to Christian or Christmas concerts or whatever, holiday programs and all that. Keep your eyes open and your discernment turned on. And ask yourself, how much of what you're seeing is really biblical? You see, Acts 17:11, the Berean attitude, that's not something you're supposed to turn off when you leave the church building. It's not something you're ever supposed to turn off. When anybody ever is speaking about God and Jesus and right and wrong, righteousness, evil, sin, all those things, you should always listen with your discernment turned on and be an Acts 17:11 Berean and looking at the Bible. Because we talked about it, there's some little things about Christmas, but you know, the Bible never says there are three kings. It doesn't call them kings and never says there are three. Oh, why is that a big deal? It just shows the carelessness. Not a big deal. But the shepherds didn't show up at the manger. They showed up at a house where a young child was. So you see the shepherd, you see the nativity scenes, and the wise men didn't show up. I got mixed up there. The wise men didn't show up until he was a young child at the house. So you see a nativity with wise men, you're like, wait a minute, that's not really biblical. Okay, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, it's not a big deal, but you can use that to open people's eyes to the fact that the world has got a completely skewed idea about this whole thing. And it wasn't just about a baby Jesus and let's all sing. It was that baby Jesus came so that He could grow up and that He could die and pay for your sins and be buried and prove He is the Creator God in a human body who was crucified but conquered sin and death and rose from the grave. Amen. That's the story behind the birth of Christ that you and I need to emphasize. And that's really every day of the year. All the time. But when you've got a situation here where an opportunity is being handed to you right there in front of your face. What a gift. And all you have to do is take that little thing about the baby Jesus and the nativity or whatever is brought up and then just go with it. And it's so easy. And once you just do it, you know what? I love this time of year. Somebody said that the other day. I said, me too. Because, you know, everybody's talking about Jesus and singing Silent Night and talking about the baby, and then I get to tell them how He grew up to die for sins and was buried and rose again. And if anybody can just believe that, they'll be saved. See how easy that was? I mean, just open your eyes to the opportunities to tell people the rest of their story. Amen. All right, let's close the Bible study, but we're going to sing a song before we head out. I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time of Bible study. And we do thank You for the celebration that believers can have. And we can rejoice in knowing that our Savior came as a little baby to accomplish the finished work of the cross and the victory in that empty tomb. And He ascended to heaven, promising to return and to receive us unto Himself. That where He is, we will be always and forever. Lord, we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for eternal life. We're thankful for knowing where we're going when we die. We're thankful for knowing where all the other believers...
Tempted and tried, we
Visit our website at bbfohio.com for links to hundreds of audio and video messages, as well as articles, links, and other free resources, and a new bookstore being developed offering additional items. This message was brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship. I am Pastor Greg, and we thank you for listening.